We have been doing a series of, not series, but I have started a lesson on Galatians chapter 6. I'd like to finish that lesson today. I will do a quick recap because we have several who weren't here last week. But basically, the question is, what does it mean to do good? Especially in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, it talks about us doing good. What actually does that mean? And as we noted last week, the context of Galatians chapter 6, especially verse 10, actually goes all the way back to Galatians chapter 5. So if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, and we are going to start with verse 13. It says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you do not consume one another. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For they are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." We are called to freedom. That's one of Paul's themes in Galatians. But freedom from the law does not mean freedom from sin. Freedom means an opportunity that we have to serve other people and to serve them in love. In Galatians chapter 5, down in verse 24, it says, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his pleasures, passions, and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." We have supposed to have crucified the flesh when we became Christians. We left the world and its ways behind us. We now walk by the Spirit. And part of that means we do not put ourselves first. We put other people first. And so in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if any one of you is caught up in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted." The spiritual are to rescue those caught up in the ways of the flesh. What are the ways of the flesh? Well, Paul gave a list that we had read earlier in our class today, back in Galatians chapter 5, those things, the works of the flesh, where he lists out things like immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, and it goes on with a list of things of the flesh, things of this world, sins of this world. If anyone is caught up in the sins of this world, those who are spiritual are to restore such a one. We're talking about saving souls. We're not talking about physical needs. We're talking about spiritual needs. In fact, that's why the warning is given to be careful not to get caught up in it. When we're trying to get somebody out of sin, it's very easy to get caught into that sin ourselves. And so in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, "Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." Those burdens, again, are spiritual burdens, not physical ones. Burdens that come about because we get involved in sin. By helping other people out of sin, we fulfill Christ's law because it's based on love. And then we get down to Galatians 6, verse 3 and 4. "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another." We realize that it's because of selfishness, because we put ourselves first, that we get pulled into the flesh and doing those things that are of the world, then we have to understand that we cannot be caught up thinking that we're better than anybody else just because we were trapped in sin like they were. We have to put ourselves to the test. Not comparing ourselves to other people, but comparing ourselves to what God wants us to be. And then we get to the verse of where we now are going to be able to take off and continue our lesson. In Galatians chapter 6, starting with verse 5. For each one will bear his own load. We each have the responsibility for the decisions that we make. We have the responsibility for our choices. In Ezekiel chapter 18, Ezekiel chapter 18 and in verse 20. It says, the person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment for the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. You cannot get to heaven because you have great parents. You can't get to heaven because you know somebody who's going that way. Attending a church that is faithful won't get you to heaven. Nor will you be pulled down because of somebody else's sins. Each person bears their own responsibility before God. You're not better because someone else fails. And you're not worse because someone else succeeded. So sometimes we think of ourselves that way. We compare ourselves all the time. Am I better than they are? Am I worse than they are? It doesn't matter. Are you doing what is right before God? That's what matters. In Romans chapter 14, Romans chapter 14 and in verse 10, but you, why do you judge your brother? And you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. We give account for what we do, not what someone else does. Whether they succeed or fail is on them. Whether we succeed or fail is on ours. And we'll receive the reward for our own labors. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul talks about in teaching other people, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 8, now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. I as a preacher, you as someone who teaches other people the gospel, your salvation is not based on how the people you teach, how well they do or not do. Your joy in what you do is based on that, but your salvation is not based on it. Each of us are judged by the work that we do. And in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 12, it says, so then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. We're here to serve God. We work out our salvation. And it's with us and God. We help one another as best we can. But ultimately it comes down to what we do as individuals. Going back to Galatians chapter 6, it mentions in there that each one will bear his own load. It's interesting, the load that's mentioned here is different from the burden that's mentioned in verse 1. The load here means an obligation, a service, a duty. We help those caught up in sin bear up under the load of sin, because that is part of our duty that cannot be pushed off on anybody else. Sometimes that happens, especially when you get into bigger congregations where they have elders and things like that. Somebody sees somebody in sin, what do? They run to the elder and says, you got to take care of this problem. Yes, the elders do have a responsibility there. They do need to take care of that problem. But you saw the problem. You have a responsibility too. You can't push that off to somebody else. Each one of us is responsible to help his fellow Christian, to bear the load. The success or failure in helping others doesn't change our status, only basically whether we make the effort or not. Therein lies what God's looking at us for. And so we get to verse 6, it says, the one who is caught or taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. It would help if I turned it on. Now I can flip the slide. The one who is taught, who is that? The one who was caught up in sin. The one who is being helped out of sin by the spiritual should share with his teacher. Now, that can be talking about a monetary sharing, but not necessarily. In fact, I don't think that's really what Paul has basically in mind here. No, take a look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and in verse 27. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they were indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. The Gentiles benefited from the Jews in the teaching of the gospel. It spread to them. When they had an opportunity to do good back, they shared materially with the Jews in their area when they were suffering from a famine. But there's more to it than just that. A student should take up the common cause with his teacher. Notice it says the Gentiles shared in their spiritual things. Sharing all that's good and all that's righteous. Part of being a Christian is sharing in all good things. The material things are just one aspect. We're talking about all the good things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 11. If we sow spiritual things in you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? And jumping down to verse 14 of that same chapter. So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. So material things are included in this. But it's also spiritual things. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15. First Thessalonians 5 and verse 15, see to it that no one repays one another evil for evil, but always seek after what is good, that which is good for one another and for all people. Again, what is good is the opposite of evil. Doing good, teaching other people, sharing the gospel, helping one another, helping encourage one another to get to heaven. If someone helps you, you ought to help them in all aspects, in all ways, pursuing what is good. In Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2 and starting verse 7, in all things show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, and which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will always be will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. It's what we say, it's what we do, it's how we act, it's how we help other people. All those things are wrapped up in doing good. And so we should share with one another. Again, returning to Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 7 now. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. What Paul is talking about chiefly is spiritual things. And it's shown in his contrast to the flesh again. He's talking about the good that we do versus following after the flesh. Following after the Spirit versus following after the flesh. He uses an example of a harvest. You harvest what you plant. You don't go out and plant soybeans and expect to get a corn crop. We know that around here. But there's another aspect also with that. Not only do you get back what you plant, but farmers expect to get back more than they plant. It'd be a miserable life if you could get to go out there and plant one corn seed and get one corn seed back. You're expected to put one in and get a whole bunch back for each one that you put in. We have to understand that that works in the spiritual realm as well. You get back more than you plant. Whether it's wickedness, as Hosea talks about in Hosea chapter 8. Hosea chapter 8 and in verse 7. Hosea chapter 8, and in verse 7 it says, "For they sow the wind, and they reap the whirlwind. The standing grain has no heads, it yields no grain. Should it yield, strangers would swallow it up." Here's the point. You get back more than you sow. You put in trouble, guess what? You get a lot more trouble out than you put in. Most people don't expect that. I know I shouldn't do that. It really is not something I ought to do. But I'm prepared to get back what I put in. But you don't get back what you put in. You get a lot more back than you put in. Now there's trouble. Now there's difficulties in life. But it also is true in righteousness, not just in wickedness. In Hosea chapter 10, and in verse 12. "Sow with a view to righteousness. Reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord, until he comes to rain righteousness on you." When you put in righteousness, you get a lot more out of it than you put in. Why should we be helping one another get out of sin? Bearing one another's burdens, helping people through the struggles against the flesh. The answer for the teacher is you get a lot more out than you put in. More righteousness results because you did the good than just the actual act that you did. It yields a larger crop. And see, judgment is based on what you do. In Romans again, chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, starting with verse 6. "Who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. If you do good, you're judged by that. God looks at what we do. Not our intentions. Not our well wishings. But our actually getting out and getting involved in each other's lives. And that's what Paul says, we cannot get tired of doing good either. It has such benefits that we can't give up. Even though sometimes it looks like it's more than we can take. We cannot give up. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Starting with verse 4. 2 Thessalonians 3, starting with verse 4. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. And then jumping down to verse 13, Paul continues and says, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. The Thessalonians were following what Paul directed them to. They were doing good. But always there's that reminder, don't give up. The writer of Hebrews also says something similar in Hebrews chapter 3. And in verse 14 it says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. If there's something that causes more Christians to be lost, it's giving up. Most Christians start off really strong. But you have to look at being a Christian is in there for the long run. Each of us have to be encouraging to one another. You know, sometimes the person who's the teacher and helping somebody else out of sin, sometimes they're the one that needs encouraging later. They put in the effort and they get tired sometimes. They have to hang on. They know they need to hang on. That's where the student comes in and says he can share all good things with his teacher. Handing that encouragement right back. So they both can make it. They don't give up. And so we get to Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 10. So then, or depending on your translation, it might say, therefore, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who are the household of faith. Here's the conclusion of everything that Paul said. All the things that Paul has discussed. As we have opportunity, we're to do good to all. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 10. Paul here says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Why are we here? Why are we here on this earth? God prepared good works and we're supposed to walk in them. And we're not limiting ourselves or saying that this is physical things or monetary aid. We're not even focused on that. The chief concept that Paul's talking about is doing righteousness. Sharing the gospel. Doing good. Living a righteous life. Walking by the Spirit. Again, going back to that passage we had in 1 Thessalonians. Let me remind you again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. See that no one repays another evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Yeah, sometimes we do good by sharing the wealth that God blesses us with. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 18, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves a treasure of a good foundation for the future, that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. We can do those things, but we're also doing other good deeds. I think of Paul talking about mostly. In Titus chapter 3, in verse 8, Titus chapter 3, verse 8, this is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently that those who have believed in God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. When Paul talks about doing good and doing good to all, it's the good things that we do. It's being honest to other people. It's being kind to our neighbors. It's helping people out. It's sharing the gospel. After all, what better thing can you do to somebody else than help them get to heaven? We're to do the good. And Paul says, especially those of the household of faith, that there's a group that needs more help and ought to be top on our list. It is our fellow brethren and sister in Christ, because we're all of one family. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Yeah, I know Gary was teasing about how many Hamiltons there were. But one way you can look at it, we're still all brothers and sisters. We're all family in this household of God. And like family, we help one another. In 3 John, starting with verse 5. In 3 John, starting with verse 5, it says, Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers. They have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. We help with the work. We make sure that the gospel spread. We give aid where we can to our brethren. And we help those who have needs. In 1 John chapter 3, and in verse 13, Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word and tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth, and we will assure our hearts before him. We need to teach the truth. We need to share the gospel. We need to support one another. We need to be kind to one another. We need to be willing to forgive each other if there's wrongs. It's about working together to reach heaven. In fact, Christ takes note of this. Even in the little things that we do for one another. In Matthew 25 and verse 40, Matthew 25 verse 40 says, The king will answer and say to them, Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to the least of these my brethren, even the least of them, you did it to me. Even the smallest thing that we do to the most insignificant, maybe we might think of our brethren. Christ says he takes note of that. We ought to help one another. We ought to do good. One of the reasons why I brought this out is I was reading an article, and he brought up a good point. I think he got a little bit off track, but he brought up a good point. When we use a single verse like this, we lose the richness of what's being expressed because we lose track of the context. See, when we forgive, we're doing good. For instance, in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 12. Passage that we are going to be studying quite a bit in our Sunday morning class. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to indeed which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. We've been richly blessed. And when we teach, when we show patience, when we give thanks, in all these ways we're doing good to one another. And yes, we do help out each other when there's physical needs. But we can't lose track of what Paul was talking about was the spiritual needs of each of us. See, our needs are not always monetary. More deep are the spiritual needs that we have. And the greatest joy that we can have is seeing those whom we love entering into eternal life. Again, going back to 3 John. We read starting with verse 5, but I want to back up to verse 4 just for a moment. 3 John verse 4. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. And so when we get to Galatians chapter 6, and we see Paul saying, so then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good. He's not talking about just opening your wallet. That's a minor thing. Let us do good to all people, especially those who are of the household of faith. Who do we show kindness to? Well, we show kindness to all our neighbors, but especially those who are of the household of faith. Who do we give forgiveness to? Well, we should forgive everyone, but especially those of the household of faith. Let's do good to all. Let's get as many as we can to join us in heaven. Hope you'll think about these things. We have to leave an opportunity, as we always do as we gather together. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those who are children of God and would like the prayers of their brethren on their behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.